Father, we want to thank you this morning. We are grateful. Let the grace and the power that is in your word do its work today in our lives as we hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, part one on relationship, we are talking about loving one another. Say with me, loving one another. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, loving one another. We'll try and make it very practical. Amen. My main text, I'm taking it from John 13, 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus teaching said, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. A new command, if you can underline the command in your Bible or however you do, or writing it, underline it. Then he says that, so you must, you've underlined must, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And please, as we go through this teaching today, I will ask us to really submerge, to put our mind in this scripture. Because when you put your mind to it, the mind of Christ comes into your mind. Amen. What I hope to achieve by the close of my presentation or teaching, one is, are we commanded to or not to love? What does it mean to love one another? Why are we commanded to love? And how do we do this, loving one another? Like somebody saying, let's do this thing. Say with me, let's do this thing. Are we commanded to or not to love? What does it mean to love one another? Why are we commanded to love? How do we do this thing? Amen. I think the first question is straightforward, isn't it? So we've catered for that. Jesus himself said, it's a command. When we hear command, it means there's nothing too gray about it. It's very clear, black and white. So it's a big yes. Amen. And the scripture is John 13, 34. What does it mean to love one another? What does it mean to love one another? That love in that scripture, John 13, 34, among other things, is to welcome or be welcoming. It's to entertain or be entertaining. Some wives or some homes, if you go, it's not that entertaining. Amen. It's to be fond of. F-O-N-D. To be fond of. To love dearly. When Jesus says that love one another, he's saying be somebody who is welcoming. Be entertaining. Hospitable. When I come around you, you should, your energy you carry around you should be lively. Amen. Like Pastor John would say, the morose face. People will not come to you. Then when they don't show any love, you are complaining. Amen. So be welcoming at your workplace. And this love, please, again, it's in context. Loving what? One another. We know we are supposed to love the world, love our enemies, but we are staying here. Because sometimes, surprise, we can love unbelievers. But in the church, it's so difficult. Be welcoming, entertaining, be fond of, and love dearly. And the one another in there has to do with, I love two of the definitions. But to start off, is to love us ourselves mutually, to reciprocate. Then the last two is to love another or other. When you check the definition of loving one another or the one another, it's other or others. So the focus is not on you, it's on the other or the another. Amen. The focus is not on me, it's not on you, it's on another, the other in the church. the person sitting to your left or to your right. Amen. Three, why are we commanded to love one another? I'm laying foundations. We have groups in the world. Some people identify themselves by tattoos, piercing. Some identify themselves by, you know, fezzes, you know, like the Turkish, what they wear. Mm-hmm. Some identify by a shared interest. Women in this church, they say, or in any church, they are cliques. So there's an interest that pulls them together. So they identify themselves by that interest. Is that not so? Some say their interest or what they gather around is abstain from certain foods. But for us as a church, what do we think separates us from the world? Even within the church, families separate themselves. We do things this way. We do things that way. But for us as a church, what separates us from the rest? Or within your cliques inside the church? Jesus made it clear that the only thing that distinguishes us is love. John 13, 34. By this, they will know. Not Kwabena's accent. Not Kwabena's color. Not where I come from. So when you see me, the first thought, or you hear my voice, what accent is that? It's like recently I was trying to bargain for my friend. So I made a call on his behalf. And the guy is white. So immediately we started talking. You've got an accent. But he wasn't meaning anything bad. Yeah. But the person is what? Identifying. But when they identify, your thought comes into their mind. Whatever it is, I don't know. But for us as Christians, Jesus said, what distinguishes you and I from the rest of the world or in this church inside Life Center is love. And that love does not take into consideration your language, your color, your skin. You can add to it. What distinguishes us is the love factor. By this, all men will know. Are you welcoming? Are you entertaining? Can I be around you? Do you love dearly? Is it on another or the other or on yourself? Followers of Christ are identified by their love for each other. And this love, this one another, just those who are the Bible student, it is used 100 times in the New Testament. The one another, the other, the another, 100 times. It tells you the importance of it. 47 of them has to do with instructions. You know when the Bible says that bear each other's burden, be there for one another. Those are instructions. So the question is, why are we commanded to love one another? One, because Jesus commands it. John 13, 34, we have that. I'm going to give the rest, but Jesus alone statement. There's no need even me to mention the rest. You understand that? When Jesus says it, it's a command. It's a must, which is, it is not a thinking, it's not a feeling. Because love is a choice. It's a verb, isn't it? Huge English. Yeah. It's an action, doing word. And if it's an action, it's a choice. You choose to love. That is why it's a command. So it's like law. When you read any clause in any law, shall is equivalent to must. It's not may. When a law says may, that becomes a bit. Yeah, you can interpret it. But when you see shall or you read shall, it means it's a must, it's a command. If you break it, it's like the speed limit. You shall not go over. And not like you may or may. Amen. So Jesus commands it. It is a command that we love one another, regardless of how I feel about you. It's a command. 2, the apostles. When you say apostles, do we know apostles? Like the disciples of Jesus. When you read, especially Paul's letters, Paul also commands us or encourages us to love. Amen. 3, because we are born of love. Romans 5:5. We are born of love. You have the nature of God in you. You can't say, I can't love. It's not possible. If we are truly saved, the love of God is in us. Amen. The love of God is our nature. It doesn't matter how the person, whoever behaves. Please, the context is one another. It doesn't matter. You are born of love. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured, it's already been poured by the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? You've got to believe that, because our Christian work is faith. And God is saying he has poured his love into our hearts. That's why sometimes we pray, God, please continue to pour your love into my heart, because this situation, if you don't pour it, we are born of love. Hallelujah. You can love. You have the capacity. And 4, we are encouraged to love. 1 John 4:7-8. 1 John 4:7-8. We are encouraged to love. Beloved, let us love one another. Please remember I said, immerse, submit your mind into these scriptures. As you allow it, it is the mind of God. It changes you. It has the power to do that. Beloved, let us love one another. Be welcoming, be entertaining, be fond of, dearly love the other. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God. Do you see? Everyone that loves is born. So if you're not loving, you're not born of God. It's as simple as that. Verse 8, Kojo. And he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. And if God is love, you are also what? Love. Because he has his nature in you. He's poured his love into you and I, our heart. Amen. And I love this one. 5. It is the royal law of the kingdom of God. It is the royal law. It makes my mind go to the late Miles Monroe. The royal law. It is, I call it the thermostat of the kingdom of God or your Christianity in loving one another. James 2:8. Because if you have the New American Standard Bible, you don't have that. It's there. If you really fulfill the royal law, can you believe this? It's the royal what? Law. The royal law of the kingdom. The royal law of the kingdom. Wow, we are in the kingdom, and the royal law is the love of God, to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself. And lastly, why are we commanded to love? It is the ultimate sign of a true, mature Christian. It is the ultimate sign. Not speaking in tongues, not praying for hours, not knowing the scriptures, not able to preach or lead or serve, but your true measure, your maturity as a Christian, your love for one another, our love for each other. Amen. Our love for each other. Do we love each other? I'm encouraging us today, myself included. God commands us. A new command I give you. A new command I give you, Kwabna. I give you, Joy. I give you, Leonie. Malachi, let's love one another. How do we do this? See, how do we do this thing? Let's do this thing, people. Firstly, Jesus says that a new, as if there is an old. A new. The Old Testament, I think it's in Leviticus, says that you shall love your neighbor or love each other or your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus comes into the picture and says, I'm giving you a new command. And the new command is, you love one another as I have loved you. Why would Jesus say that? Because Jesus is saying that because he is the new pattern we have to live by. And he is the power we live on. He is the new pattern we live by. And he is the power we live on. You understand that? So it means that he is the new pattern. You have to look at how he has exemplified this loving of people. Then the question becomes, how did he, was he able to do it? That's the power. But Jesus is saying, a new command I give you. As I have loved you, love one another. I am the pattern. I'm the blueprint. And to be able to do this, you need that power. It is on me, that power, to be able to live it out. So I want to draw attention to some pattern of Jesus' love for us, or characteristics of Jesus' love for us. And as I'm giving this pattern, it's the pattern that you and I are supposed to live by. Already we know we are born of love, or the love of God is in us. And if we are a new creation, and Jesus exemplified these characteristics or pattern, we also are able to do it. Hallelujah. So one, Romans 5:8. Jesus loves unconditionally. Your love, or our love for each other, people as a church, Life Center, must be unconditional. Our love for each other must be what? Unconditional. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, it means when I am doing something you don't like, you still love me. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. When somebody is doing something that you don't like, but you still what? Love them. Unconditional. Not based on whether they do something, then you love them. The love of God that Jesus has for you and I is unconditional. So ours must be. Whilst we were yet sinners, the person is sinning, the person is causing trouble, and it's hard, isn't it? We'll come to the how. Jesus loves sacrificially. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Our love for each other must be sacrificial. Somebody Google for me, what's the definition of sacrifice or sacrificial? Sacrificial rather. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, who knew no sin, sacrificed himself for us. Loving one another must be sacrificial. Loving one another must be sacrificial. Somebody has the definition, sacrificial. Loving one another, yes, Vivian. To give up something of value for the consideration of another. Not that you get something back. I don't think Jesus got anything back while we're yet sinners. So please, you won't get anything back. It's sacrificial. You know sacrificial? It means you are going beyond your comfort zone. You know when Jesus says that, if I do good to you, do good to me. What's the benefit? I'm talking within the church. That means you must go more. More. You sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when they put their goat or sheep on the altar and they kill, shed their blood. That's what it means. You are dying to self for the sake of another. Others. You value others. People, it's a choice. It's either you decide to do it or you don't. It's not about thinking too much about it. Are you doing it or you are not? Jesus showed his love to us by forgiving us. He forgives. Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Are you forgiving? Do you forgive your brother, your sister? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. As I have loved you, love one another. He loved us by forgiving us our sins. Are you forgiving? Are you holding bitterness in your heart against somebody? Let it go. Choose to love them. Choose to forgive them. Hallelujah. Jesus' love is eternal. This week we can do it. Jesus' love is eternal. Let me put it maybe in our terms. It's constant. It flows. You connect it to unconditional. It means there are no rules to it. He loves you. It's like a river flowing. If you fall into it, he loves you. If you get out of it, you've gotten out of it. But if you fall into the river, he works on you. Amen. Our love must also be that. And Jesus' love was or is holy. Your love, our love for each other must be pure, must be holy. Hebrews 7:26. Moral purity. Hebrews 7:26. Jesus' love for us was holy. For such a high priest was fitting to us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Everything, the love of God, is pure. Our love for each other must be pure, not tainted, not what you will get, not any wrong motive, not what having second thought or something behind it. Purely holy. Unconditional, sacrificial, forgiving. And Jesus showed his love for us in his death, dying to self and living for others. To love one another, we have to die to self. Jesus practically showed it. He died. He went to the cross. Are you going to the cross for the sake of another here? Or it's always about you, 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 you. Even to the extent that you can't even pray for people where nobody sees. Let's take it to that level. We are not even talking of you, the practical ones. As in prayer, in your secret. Jesus says, nobody sees it. Do you pick a person's name and pray for them? Do you pray even for the church? Or you is always, we should pray for you, 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 you. Today I'm saying that try a different method and let's see. Pray for somebody. Say, I will pray. Pray. I will pray. Pray. Heaven is hearing it though. If you're not sure, don't say it. When you are in trouble, difficulty, pray for somebody and see what God will do. If you focus on your problem, it won't get to solve. You begin to pray for another. It is dying to self. As you do that, it now goes further. It becomes a bit practical more. Prayer is practical, but when I say practical, we know what I mean. Like somebody say, give them money, help them, blah, 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 blah. But you start with a prayer and see what God will do. Because he will work on you yourself, your heart, and your flesh will die every day. And you begin to think about others, like food bank, others. But we are talking inside the church. Amen. Jesus' pattern of love for us is that he laid aside status, rank, prestige, and took the form of a servant. Jesus' pattern of love for you and I is that he laid aside status, rank, prestige, and took the form of a servant. Philippians 2:7. Are you into titles? Are you into big man, big woman? I can't do this. Hey, me? Maybe you don't say it, but inside your mind, you are saying things. Only God sees. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. Other version will say servant. John 13:14-15. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought. You understand the word ought? You understand that? Must, not should. In law, if you use should, it's a bit, it's not strong. Must, ought, it's like ought to be. It's a must. Ought to wash one another's feet. 15, yeah, that's there. For I have given you an example. That is Jesus' pattern. Do we wash each other's feet? Do we put aside our prestige, our status, our rank, and take the form of a servant? Oh, me, I can't do this. Maybe you don't say it, but your attitude shows it. Something is blocking you because you think you can't clean the toilet for somebody to somebody go and sit on it. You might think it's not, but there's something. It's a pride, isn't it? You might not admit it, but it is. But let's think of others. Here, please, not outside, here in the church. Amen. Oh, why should I come to church early? Oh, why should I? I'm talking of workers now. Some thought going through your head. It's not others oriented. It's not the pattern of Jesus. Maybe your rank, your status is to wake up early. You are making your sleeping too much a rank, a prestige. Just for the sake of somebody. Hallelujah. How do we do this? We are saying, we come to the power. I call it the abiding power. John 15. If you abide in me. Because you ask him, how do we do all this? Love one another. John 15:12. The abiding power. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Then go 9 to verse 10. Verse 9 and 10. You come back. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's command. You see, that's the secret. Jesus is saying, my time is almost up, he was able to love us because he abided in the love of Jesus, of the Father, sorry, of God. So for you and I to be able to love each other, you need to abide in the love of Jesus, which is equivalent of the love of the Father. Jesus wasn't abiding in his own love. Old Testament, my strength, you can't. Because how can somebody offend you, is it 70 times 7 in a day, and you forgive them? You need to abide in the power, say power. Power. Of the love of Jesus. The Father's love moves into us when we abide in Jesus' love. And this love lives in us as a divine power, enabling us to love. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the key. The Holy Spirit is the key. Go to John 15:26-27. John 15, 26, 27. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds, he comes, he proceeds, he has been with the Father, he will testify of me. 27. And you will bear witness, and you also, I nearly missed that point, but I wanted to stress on it. Also, because you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit has been with the Father from the beginning. So Jesus was able to abide in the Father's love because of that, because he's been with the Father from the beginning. So he's saying that you also have been with me from the beginning. So he's saying the person who has been with the Father from the beginning is the Holy Spirit. So to be able to love each other, he knows how to do it. So you need to abide with him. You need a quality relationship with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And if you wonder, almost done, what hour by hour abiding in Jesus means, it means this, listen. It means hour by hour trusting him to meet all our needs, your needs, my needs, and be our supreme treasure. And when we are confident that he will meet all our needs and be our treasure, we are freed and empowered to humble ourselves and meet the needs of others. What this statement is saying is that we are not loving one another because we don't trust God. Because if you trust God to meet your needs, you will love the other person. Because you don't trust God in certain situations, the focus is on you, it's on me. You understand that? If we trust God, this is the key, the Holy Spirit helping us, he will meet every need and he's our supreme treasure. It gives you confidence and you are free, secured to show love to another person. But when you are focused on the self, your problems, you don't believe that God can meet your needs. Amen. Listen to what another man of God said. To abide in Christ means to keep up a habit of, so we are showing the practicality. How do you go about this? To keep up a habit of constant close communion with him. To be always leaning on him, that's the Father or Jesus, resting on him, pouring out our hearts to him, and using him as our fountain of life and strength, as our chief companion and best friend, to have his words abiding in us. That's why I say emerge or submerge or immerse your mind in these scriptures. Because as you do that, the mind of Christ permeates into your spirit and your mind, your soul. Amen. So he says to have his words abiding in us is to keep his sayings, the Bible, the words of the word of God, and precept continually, say continually, before our memories and minds, and to make them the guide of our actions and the rule of our daily conduct and behavior. The word of God must be in your mind. You cannot love by yourself. You can't. You can't. You need the Holy Spirit, the enabler. He will enable you because he has been with the Father and he knows how to help you to love or us to love one another. Hallelujah. So I will end with this. The royal law of the kingdom. We know 1 Corinthians 13, don't we? It says in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. The greatest is not what? It's not faith. It's not hope. It's what? It means you can show faith, moving mountains, faith to pull money, faith to do things. But the Bible is saying the greatest, the royal law of the kingdom is love. And we are talking of loving one another. So our love, Jesus says, if we do what he's saying, that will cause people to know, will cause, we are talking of here now, will let me know, you know that I love one another, is when we are patient. It's when we are kind. 1 Corinthians 13. It's when we are not proud. It's when we are not boastful. It's when we are not jealous of each other. It's when we are not selfish or self-seeking. It's when we are not irritable, easily annoyed or angered. When we are non-judgmental, that is when the world or here we will know that we are the disciples of Jesus. We don't rejoice in injustice or evil, but we rejoice in truth. We are not happy when somebody falls in this church. Somebody commits a sin or does something, but rather saddens our heart and we pray in love for them. We are always forgiving. We are always full of faith. And we are always full of hope. Please relate it, not situations, human beings. I'm always full of hope, regardless of how you behave. I'm always having hope that it will be well. Your attitude will change. Your mindset will change. Or that thing which it about you or me and you, it will get better. Amen. Because that love always hopes. It always forgives. And it endures and perseveres with people. Donna will come to me. Donna, this one, it perseveres and it endures. It's a choice. Marriage, it perseveres and it endures. Please stand up with me. Let's pray. We are praying, Father, please help us to love one another. Help us to love each other as Christ loves the church. In Life Center, please, God, help us to love one another. Pray to God. Ask God to help you and I. Holy Spirit, we've seen that you are the key. Please enable us, empower us, shed abroad more of the love of God in our hearts, that we will love each other. Empower us. Empower us. We want each other to see us, that we are your disciples, Lord. Help us, Lord. Pray to God. Father, help us. Empower us. Help us, oh God, to be patient. Help us to be kind. Help us not to be proud, not to be boastful, not to be jealous or rude. Help us, Lord. Help us not to be self-seeking, selfish. Help us not to be irritable, not easily angered or annoyed. Help us, Father, not to be judgmental. Help us, oh God, to rejoice in only the truth and not evil or injustice. Help us, Father, to be always forgiving. Oh God, help us to be full of faith, always hopeful. Help us to endure and persevere with people. In this church, oh Lord, we are asking you. Help us, oh Lord. Help us, Father. We ask for your Holy Spirit to help us. Spirit of the living God, we say help us. Give us the grace, the strength. We come to the throne room of grace this afternoon. And we say, oh God, help us. Help us, God. Help us to love each other. Help us to abide in you. Help us to abide in the love of God. Help us, Jesus. Because you are the key. You are the answer. Help us to love people. Love each other sacrificially. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father. Help us, we ask you. Help us, Lord. Help us to love unconditionally. Help us to forgive. Help us for our love to be holy, pure. Help us, oh God, to die to self for the sake of others. Help us to lay aside the status, the rank, the prestige, and take the form of a servant. Help us, God, with our relationship with you. Please help us. Shabrakatu.